So if you are a positive or considered a close contact, please stay home until you clear your quarantine or your isolation period. As a reminder, you are considered a close contact if you are within 6 feet of someone for a total of 15 minutes or more during the 48 hours before that person was feeling ill or tested positive. Why don't I say that again? That's a lot of information. You are considered a close contact if you are within 6 feet of someone for a total of 15 minutes or more during the 48 hours before that person was feeling ill or tested positive. You should quarantine for 14 days, stay home, don't go out into the public spaces like the store or a workplace. There are some options to shorten that 14-day period. You can research this on the CDC website. If you are COVID sick, isolate for 10 days and be fever-free without medication for 24 hours before returning into the public. Some employers may also require a negative test before returning to work. The good news is the Pfizer vaccine is here in Kodiak now, and Tier 1 distribution plans are in effect. Healthcare vaccinations are already taking place. Primary agencies and occupations receiving the vaccine are categorized by risk of contracting the virus and other factors. It will be months before everyone has completed the first and second round of vaccination. In the meantime, we need to continue taking these sometimes uncomfortable measures to protect our community's health. The mask mandate remains in effect. The community risk level is still red, and the local health declaration is still in effect. Limited capacity will remain in effect until January 15th. The ESC is monitoring our situation closely, and with a little bit of holiday luck, our numbers will go down. We'll come out of the red, and school will open as planned. Can we all make this a New Year's resolution? Thank you to all businesses for supporting mask wearing and keeping your staff and patrons safe. The Chamber of Commerce Director, Ms. Phillips, says there are no reduced capacity issues with the temporary 25% occupancy limit. Shopping locally is occurring, and businesses are proactive in efforts to prevent the spread of the virus. It was unfortunate to see businesses lose staff to the virus and temporarily close. That is one aspect of the virus. It is highly contagious. I mentioned last week that COVID testing at the airport continues, and the number of arrivals getting tested has increased since the airport greeters started. So thanks to Alaska Airlines and CANA for their support. Phone numbers to schedule a test are Kodiak Area Native Association, CANA, at 486-9870, and KCHC, 481-5000. There are many holiday festive activities about town now to enjoy. The Isle Bells performed Monday, and the Kodiak Island Borough School District Elementary Schools performed a Christmas concert last night. Thanks to KMXT for broadcasting these uplifting performances. Kodiak High School will have two outdoor showings of the Polar Express Sunday at 4:30 and 7 p.m. There is no cost for the movie. The Orpheum Theater will be open prior to these shows for traditional movie concessions. And we expect many more activities to enjoy this time of year. As we move forward with the holiday season, and we all want to be careful in masking up, standing 6 feet apart and not gathering, it is important to remember children of all ages and the isolation we are all experiencing. Here are some tips for sharing the joy of the season. Telephone and have a conversation and share experiences from the past and present, and talk about plans for the future. Send cards in the mail. It's always a surprise to receive notes or Christmas cards with a personal note inside. You can also order flowers to be delivered. They always brighten a room and someone's mood. Consider doing some neighborhood caroling. Don't be bashful. We all sound good this time of year. And listen to some holiday music. You can even deliver a present at a person's door. And for household members, drive around Kodiak to look at all the beautiful lights our neighbors have decorated. Share the gift of love and share the wish for a safe and healthy new year. And happy birthday to those born on this day. Remember, we'll get through this. Take a deep breath, smile, be patient. The vaccines are being distributed now. And stay safe. We'll be back again next Thursday, Christmas Eve, for another community COVID update.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
Happy birthday, Mike. As we just heard, the Kodiak Area Emergency Services Organization has reported 21 new COVID-19 cases for the Kodiak Island Borough. Of these cases, there have been 5 community transmission cases and 16 close contact cases. These cases include 1 case tested and not previously reported on December 10th, 1 on the 11th, 1 on the 12th, 2 on the 14th, 4 on the 15th, and 12 new cases on the 16th. This brings the total case count in the Kodiak Island Borough to 766 cases to date, with 234 cases classified as active locally. There have been 31 hospitalizations locally since the start of the pandemic, with 4 patients currently hospitalized. There have been 4 deaths locally due to COVID-19 to date. Fairbanks Memorial Hospital and the Tanana Chiefs Conference both received their first shipments of COVID-19 vaccine on Wednesday. The hospital plans to start vaccinating employees today. And TCC plans to begin shots for village health workers and vulnerable elders as soon as the logistics can be worked out. KUAC's Robin has more.
The community hospital in Fairbanks got its package around 10:30 yesterday morning. Dr. Angelique Ramirez, Chief Medical Officer for Foundation Health Partners, says the 975 doses will be used to vaccinate hospital staff at greatest risk for exposure to COVID-19 and those who are caring for patients with the disease.
This is the beginning of the end. And I will tell you, I am so excited that this is one of the first times I'm actually able to offer something to people that will actually protect them and make things better.
In line for vaccinations are FHP employees at Tanana Valley Clinic and Denali Center, the long-term care facility.
That is just so exciting. It's been a challenging year, and throughout the year, we've been asking more and more of our healthcare workers. And we can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel and the end of this pandemic.
975 doses won't get very far among Fairbanks' first responders, but more is coming.
Because it is a new vaccine, it had to be manufactured. It is starting with very small quantities. So it is a scarce resource. The Centers for Disease Control established priorities as to who should get the vaccine first. And the state of Alaska also established priorities as to how to best utilize it to protect our community.
As you've been hearing, the temperature demands of the vaccine are a challenge for many hospitals. However, Fairbanks Memorial Hospital already had a Siberian ultra-cold freezer. The vaccine vials are packed in flat boxes, about the size of a small pizza box, each of which holds 195 vials. As many as 5 of those small boxes are stacked together in a reusable insulated cardboard box that's then topped with 50 pounds of dry ice. The dry ice keeps the vaccine at a temperature of minus 94 degrees Fahrenheit, that's minus 70 Celsius, for up to 5 days. That will help a lot when getting shots out to interior villages. Tanana Chiefs Conference serves more than 40 tribal communities in the interior and picked up a shipment of 450 doses of Pfizer vaccine last night.
Picked it up at the airport and brought it back to our freezer.
Dr. Alyssa Alexander says TCC bought its own ultra-cold freezer in anticipation of distributing the vaccine.
So we are able to function like a mini depot for some partners in the area.
Pfizer has put GPS-enabled thermal sensors in each shipment to make sure it stayed cold in transit. But few other places in Alaska have these ultra-cold freezers, so technicians preparing the vaccine are going to make sure it stays stable and potent as it is distributed, village by village.
We have a lot of logistics to figure out in shipping it out to all of our villages. According to the priorities that were laid out by the federal guidelines and the state guidelines, we're getting our health aides vaccinated, our high-risk elders, and then we have assisted living facilities in a couple of our communities, so the residents and staff in those facilities will get vaccinated first.
Dr. Alexander says only a handful of vaccinators in Fairbanks will get their own doses in this round. With only 450 doses, they want as much of those as possible distributed in the villages. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
The Kodiak History Museum won the Governor's Arts and Humanities Distinguished Service to the Humanities in Community Award. According to a press release from the Alaska Humanities Forum, the museum is being recognized for its service, quote, as an essential and beloved community resource dedicated to preserving, interpreting, and sharing the full breadth of the history of the Kodiak Archipelago. KHM is leading the way in decolonizing small museums and has proven to be a catalyst of change in Kodiak, strengthening community by forging connections between people across race, class, and cultural divides. Sarah Harrington says that the award was for hard work to tell the whole story of Kodiak.
We reopened in May of 2019 as the Kodiak History Museum with brand new, inclusive, and accessible exhibits that were really oriented on telling Kodiak's chronological stories, all the way from when the Russian American magazine was built around 1808 into present-day Kodiak. And so previously, our exhibits really focused on stories of colonization, both Russian and early American colonization, stories of wealth and power in our community. And we wanted to, kind of go above and beyond in recognizing the stories that we hadn't been telling. So stories of the fishing community and the Coast Guard presence here, World War II stories and immigrant stories. We wanted to make space to prioritize these in the museum, and also just really make sure that we were clearly communicating to the Kodiak community that everyone's story belongs at the museum.
Harrington also says that a big part of the museum's effort was put into making an environment for cooperation and storytelling between the museum and the Kodiak community.
We also have been making changes to our temporary exhibit model that really focus on partnering with community members to create exhibits or co-create exhibits with those partners that are focused on stories that the community recognizes as important. So they're exhibits chosen by the community for the community. And that model really flips the previous model of exhibit curation on its head. It's kind of common practice in museums that the curators and the museum staff kind of tell the community, this is what we've been focused on or what we've been researching, and we want to share that with you. But it puts the museum staff in more of an expert role in terms of what's important when we look back at our history. And we wanted to slow that down a little bit and to create meaningful dialogue together with our community members looking to history as a guide, but offering our resources and platform for the community to tell its own stories, draw its own conclusions.
She says that this award celebrated the work of many hands.
I want to pause and just recognize all of the team players who have served the museum so meaningfully in the last number of years. We're a small staff of just 4 people right now, but we would not have been able to achieve the redesign of the exhibits or this recognition without the diligence and dedication of everyone who's worked on the project since its conception.
The University of Alaska Fairbanks Alaska Center for Energy and Power has received a federal award to aid development of hydro energy technology for rural Alaska communities. KUAC's Mary Ault reports.
The ACEP has received a $3.3 million grant to develop technology to harness the power of rivers without building dams. Ben Loeffler is the manager of ACEP's Pacific Marine Energy Center. He and other researchers at UAF will use the funds to develop turbines and generator technology that will produce energy locally in rural Alaskan communities. The force of the river's flow will turn the turbines and generate electricity, similar to the way wind turbines work. But the unique circumstances in rural Alaska will require specific design.
The reason we haven't been, that no one has been able to extract useful electricity from rivers as they are, especially in remote locations, that there are significant challenges with interactions with debris, floating trees coming down the river, issues with sediment or silt in the rivers, damaging bearings or seals on these systems if they're submerged.
The turbines will be tested in Nenana and in the ACEP's lab in Fairbanks. The project will be conducted over the next 3 years. Researchers plan to have a product ready for use by the time the project ends. Two private companies are also involved in the project and will produce and sell the final product. In another project in Kakunak, the ACEP is working toward restoring a system that uses wind to generate energy. Grants will fund the improvements. When the project is complete, a battery will be on site to store wind-generated energy. The project will also collect data that will be used to improve similar systems. Community members have been trained to maintain and operate the system. Loeffler said this kind of research is key to meeting the unique local energy needs of rural Alaskan communities.
For remote or rural Alaska, the scale of the power needs is smaller. The ability to build, you know, large infrastructure projects is not appropriate. And so smaller, even modular systems that are easy to transport can be installed without a lot of infrastructure or equipment are really necessary to provide sort of local energy.
For KUAC, I'm Mary Ault.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Europe adds to Alaska salmon tariff woes. More after this.
The Alaska Marine Safety Education Association provides Coast Guard accepted training for fishermen across Alaska. Learn more at amc.org.
More trade inequities will bite into Alaska salmon and crab sales next year. That's alongside the ongoing 38% average tariff paid to China for nearly all U.S. seafood. The newest is a 25 to 35% tariff imposed in November on U.S. salmon going to the 27 countries that comprise the European Union. The dispute stems from U.S. subsidies being paid to Boeing and competing European aircraft. In 2019, Alaska exported over $30.4 million worth of frozen salmon fillets to the EU. Alan Kimball is head of global and domestic sales for Trident Seafoods.
It is going to have an effect on our ability to get wild salmon into the European Union.
Also, Russia has just announced that it will continue its food embargo through 2021. Russia stopped buying foods from the U.S. and many other countries in 2014 over their protests to its invasion of Ukraine. Yet, U.S. purchases of Russian seafood have continued to grow. In 2019, Russia sent over 80 million pounds of seafood to the U.S., valued at nearly $700 million. Under current news reports, that's a 7.4% increase in volume and a nearly 20% increase in value over 2018. Most of that is Russian-caught red king crab and snow crab and sockeye salmon. All enters the country nearly duty-free. Meanwhile, SeafoodNews.com reports that Russian crabbers are upping the ante for 2021 and plan to catch almost 220 million pounds of mostly king and snow crab. By comparison, Alaska's total Bering Sea crab catch this season totals about 56 million pounds. Find links at AlaskaFishRadio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Thursday. It is the 17th day of December, the year 2020. The sun rose today at 9:50 and it will set again at 4:23 this afternoon, giving us 6 hours and 32 minutes of precious daylight. That's a loss of only 37 seconds compared to yesterday. Looking at our local district tides, here on the east side we have a high tide coming up at 3:15 p.m. That's going to be a 10.26 foot tide. Our next low tide will be at 10:07 tonight. That will be a minus tide, minus 1.24 feet, followed by a high tide at 4:48 in the morning of 7.74 feet, and our low tide for tomorrow morning will be at 9:58 a.m. on the east side, a 2.99 foot tide, let's call it a 3 foot tide. Over on the west side, and these are Uganic Pass tides, you have a high tide coming up at 3:49 p.m. That will be a 16.68 foot tide, followed by a low tide at 10:31 this evening of minus 2.08 feet. Your next high tide will be at 5 a.m., 15.12 feet, and your morning low tide for the west side will occur at 10:46 a.m. and be 3.13 feet. 35 degrees outside right now. And it is precipitating mightily. We're looking for rain up until 3 p.m., then rain and snow. It looks like rain and snow right now. High near 38 today, with north wind at 20 miles per hour, gusting as high as 25. Chance of precipitation today is 90%, but little or no snow accumulation is expected. For tonight, look for rain and snow before 9 p.m., then a chance of snow showers between 9 p.m. and midnight. Cloudy skies tonight with a low around 31. Northwest wind at 20 miles per hour, a 60% chance of new snow, but they're asking for less than a half inch possible of accumulation tonight. For tomorrow, a 40% chance of snow afternoon, increasing clouds tomorrow with a high near 35, southwest winds at 10. For Friday night, 30% chance of snow before 3 a.m., mostly cloudy skies overnight on Friday with a low of 29. Light and variable winds will turn to the west and gust as high as 20 miles per hour Friday night. Mariners, here is your synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A 973 millibar low, 160 nautical miles southeast of Chirikoff Island, will move through the Northern Gulf and go to 110 nautical miles east of Middleton Island and go to 974 millibars on Friday morning. A second 975 millibar low on Friday night will move to 230 nautical miles southeast of Kodiak Island, then to 135 nautical miles southeast of Middleton Island, and go to 972 millibars Saturday morning. The result of all that action, Marmot Island to Sitkanat, Kodiak's east side offshore, small craft advisory through Friday, northwest wind to 30 knots right now, except east 30 knots north of Dangerous Cape, seas to 11 feet on our east side. For Friday, look for southwest wind to 25 knots and seas to 12 feet. Over in the Shelikoff on Kodiak's west side, gale warning today. Northeast wind 40 knots right now in the Shelikoff. Seas building up to 14 feet. For tonight, north 30, becoming west 15 after midnight. Seas 7 feet, should subside to 3 feet after midnight in the Shelikoff tonight. For tomorrow, look for west wind to 20 knots, becoming variable 10 knots and seas to 4 feet in the Shelikoff. Inside waters, Chiniac and Marmot Bay, small craft advisory for today. Northeast wind to 15 knots in Chiniac Bay will increase to 25 knots this afternoon, seas to 7 feet. For tomorrow, look for southwest winds to 10 knots and seas to 2 feet. In Marmot Bay, northeast wind to 25 knots right now, seas to 7 feet. For tomorrow, look for west wind to 15 knots, becoming variable less than 10, seas to 3 feet in Marmot Bay. The City Clerk Hiring Committee will hold a meeting today at 3 p.m. The meeting will be held virtually. Committee members will be participating via audio-video conferencing, maybe a few in person. But the meeting will be web-streamed, and the web-streaming link and meeting packets are available at the City website. Or for more information, call the clerk at 486-8636. There is a meeting of the Kodiak Borough Assembly tonight at 6:30 p.m. That meeting will be held online as well, and you can go to the Kodiak Borough website for more information about that, and it will be broadcast tonight on kmxt.org right here, 6:30 p.m. The Kodiak Maritime Museum is having their Harbor Lights Festival. from tomorrow night to Sunday night. As in previous years, boat owners are encouraged to decorate their vessels with lights to celebrate the holiday season, and prizes will be awarded to the top three decorated boats. Polling for best decorated boat will be conducted online. Due to COVID-19, there will be no reception at the Harbor Convention Center this year, and the EOC is discouraging people from walking in the harbor floats unless you are masked and are able to maintain a 6-foot social distance. But for the first time in many years, there will also be a Harbor Lights boat parade through Near Island Channel. That's going to start at 6:30 p.m. on Saturday. KMM will award prizes for the top three photos of the Harbor Lights Festival boats. Photos need to be posted on KMM's Facebook page. That's the Kodiak Maritime Museum, and or Instagram page with the hashtag Kodiak Harbor Lights to be considered for a prize. Photos will be judged by the number of likes they get. For more information, check out the Kodiak Maritime Museum and Friends of Kodiak Facebook pages and the Kodiak Maritime Museum website. You can also call them at 486-0384. Due to a close contact with COVID-19 amongst the staff at the Kodiak Public Library, the library will remain closed until next Monday. Trivia will still be held on Wednesday nights, and next week's craft sessions will be postponed until Tuesday instead of Monday, with supplies still being able to be picked up next week. The St. James 2020 Mini Quilt Sale is going on. It's just online. To find it, you need to go to Kodiak Bear Paw Quilters. Just search Kodiak Bear Paw Quilters. It comes right up. And you'll find a gallery there that you can peruse. And then you can order stuff from your online gallery if you want. And if you want any more information, call Ellen at 942-3868.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day. Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.